Brother Ernie Kensley of the Orlando's Ecclesia will now break the bread of life to us and he will be discussing with us a question for the heart. A question for the heart. May the Lord be with you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Bill. First of all, we'd like to mention that I'm sure we're all very sorry that Brother and Sister Wassman couldn't be here to share this wonderful convention with us. I would have preferred to sit out in the audience and listen to him bring us one of his excellent lessons from the Word of God. But that is not the case today, and we will do our very best to pitch hit for him in his absence. There is a verse in the book of Proverbs which forms the basis for a very interesting question that we can ask ourselves, and particularly the condition of our heart. This verse describes for us two of the conditions which will be required of any of God's intelligent creation to attain either spiritual sonship during this present age or to regain the earthly sonship which was lost by disobedience, to regain that earthly sonship through the auspices of the kingdom. This verse has already been quoted several times in the convention yesterday, and it's found in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, and verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. We find this verse also really gives us a synopsis or a summary of our Christian life. The first part of the verse, my son, give me thine heart, describes what happens at consecration, because that's what happens at consecration. We give the Lord our heart. And the last part of the verse describes the rest of our Christian responsibility until we finish our course in death. And that is to observe the ways of the Lord, not only with our eyes, not only with our ears, but with our hands and with our feet, the course that we follow, and also with the words that we speak. But just as Brother Steve in his discourse yesterday, mentioning that denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following our Lord is a daily matter, so we also believe that the first part of this verse also is a daily matter, the giving of our hearts to the Lord. While it is something that we promise to do, that we agree to do at consecration, it is something that we must continue to do each day of our Christian life if we expect to be pleasing and acceptable to the Heavenly Father. Our heart must belong completely, fully, and totally to the Lord if we expect to be pleasing and acceptable to Him. We cannot assume, brethren, that following consecration, our heart will always remain completely and fully the Lord's without any energy, without any effort, without any scrutiny or examination on our part. We're told in the Scriptures that our adversary is indeed a wily foe. He will take advantage of every opportunity, each one of our weaknesses, of the weaknesses of those around us, of the spirit and the influence of the world, to steal whatever he can of our devotion in our heart and our love away from the Lord and direct it in any other path that is possible. And we feel that if we come to the end of our Christian course, we find that we are not more than overcomers. We have not made the grade and we have not received the crown of life. It was because we did not really give our heart fully and completely during our entire consecrated life to the Lord. For if we give our hearts completely and fully to the Lord and we ensure that they are always in this condition, then we will, to the best of our ability, serve the Lord in all of the conditions and experiences of life. And the Lord, with His merit and with His sacrifice, will make up the difference. And we will indeed hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of thy Lord. And so we thought for the few moments we have this afternoon that we would consider some questions that we might could ask ourselves along this line to see and to encourage ourselves to live up to this standard of our heart and our mind completely belonging to the Lord. How well we do in the Lord's service and in the Christian walk, the amount of energy we put forth in doing the Lord's will, our zeal in following in the footsteps of our Lord, and our desire to be molded into the likeness of our Lord, all of this will depend on whether or not our heart belongs completely to the Lord. Before we get started on our discussion, we might ask the question, is the Lord really that interested in our heart condition? I'm sure we've all found the answer to this in our study of the Scriptures. Indeed, the Lord is vitally interested in our heart condition because this is the very foundation of our relationship to Him. In fact, the Lord is so concerned with our heart condition that He refers to it over 700 times in the Scriptures. When the Lord refers to our heart condition, He is not talking about the physical organ, the heart, which is responsible for pumping and supplying blood and hence life to all parts of our body. He's using this vital element of our physical body as a symbol of something just as vital, just as important to our spiritual life. If we go back to Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and verse 26, and look up the Hebrew word which is translated heart, if we look it up in the concordance, we find that it means feelings, will, intellect. It refers to the very heart or center of everything, or the center of our life. And we find that in the Scriptures, the heart is used symbolically to refer to our motives, our desires, our affections, our will. And the Heavenly Father is extremely interested and concerned in these things in our lives, because they determine not only the course of our life, but also our relationship with Him. The fact that these attitudes, these desires and affections have such a great control over the course of our life is brought to our attention in Proverbs, the 4th chapter and verse 23, where we're told to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our attitudes, our desires, our affections will control the direction of our life. And therefore, as we've already heard at this convention, we need to protect, we need to guard, we need to maintain our hearts against not only the spirit and the influence of the world, but also the fiery darts of the adversary, so that our hearts might continue to remain centered and wholly dedicated to the Lord and His principles of truth. Our course of life is determined by our hearts, because that is where we place the value on the principles and the rules and the ideas that we use to govern our life. Because we will act in accordance with these values that we hold in our heart. If our love for the Lord is great, if we treasure His principles and desire to be molded into the likeness of our Lord, then that value we found in our Christian life, the actions that we do, the course of life that we follow. But if our love for the Lord is lacking, then that will also be manifest in the way we behave. Not only does the heart have that great control over our course of life and what we do, as we're told in the Scriptures, it also has a great control over what we say. As our Lord told us in Matthew, the 12th chapter, in verses 34 and 35, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And whatever our attitudes and whatever our affections and desires are, we will find it impossible to keep them out of our words. And if we find that we're having problems keeping our words and our thoughts in check, perhaps we need to go back to the source of the problem. And therefore, because our heart condition is so important to the Lord and to our standing before Him, we find that the Lord so carefully watches and examines and considers our heart's condition, our affections, our desires, our motives. He's continually testing to determine whether or not they are completely and fully in harmony with His plans and principles. It is only those whose hearts are thoroughly in tune with our Heavenly Father can expect to receive the crown of life at the end of their Christian walk. As we're told in Proverbs, the 21st chapter in verse 2, and also in the 24th chapter in verse 12, the Lord ponders the heart. If we look this word up in the concordance, it means to measure against or to weigh something. And what the Lord is doing is He is weighing our attitudes, our affections and our desires against the standard that has been set before us, the standard of our Lord Jesus. As Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, the Lord searches the mind and examines the heart and then rewards us based on what He has found. The prophet Jeremiah knew that the Lord read his heart. In fact, that gave him a very comforting and assuring thought, because the prophet Jeremiah knew that by the Lord examining his heart, the Lord could see all of his love and all of his devotion for him. Jeremiah 12, 3. And so we too, like the prophet Jeremiah, invite the Lord to come into our hearts and to examine it, to see our great love and devotion to Him, and also to show us any areas which we need to correct. David so beautifully expressed this attitude in the 139th Psalm in verses 23 and 24, where he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Every child of God desires that the Heavenly Father would examine their heart and mind, because if the Lord judged us based solely on the basis of our actions, we would not be pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. That is because while we might delight to do the Lord's will in our heart and our mind, because of the inherited weaknesses in our bodies, we find it impossible to always put these good intentions into action. And so the only way that the Lord can completely know of our love and our devotion and our dedication to Him, He needs to examine our hearts. And we too also need to examine our hearts as well to determine how well we are measuring up to the standard of our Lord and how well we are following in His footsteps of sacrifice. As Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and verse 5, we are to examine ourselves to determine whether or not we are in the faith. And this examination is not only to involve our faith and our belief in the Lord, but also our heart condition, our attitudes and our desires, to see if they measure up as well. And we're told in the Scriptures of the tools that the Lord gives us that we might perform this self-examination, that we might determine whether or not our heart still belongs completely to the Lord. We're told in Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse 12, about one of the parts of the armor of light that we've had spoken to us just several days ago. There we're told that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and that through its use, even the thoughts and the intents of the heart can be discerned. And so that we would not be judged and found unworthy of the Lord, we need to examine ourselves. We need to get to the real heart of the matter to determine whether or not our hearts still belong to the Lord. Because our heart condition determines how well or how poorly we will serve the Lord in the days and weeks to come. And so we thought for the few moments that we have left, we might go to the Word of God and examine some of the suggestions we have as to how we can examine our hearts and minds to determine whether or not they fully belong to the Heavenly Father. One of the ways that the Lord is examining us and which we need to examine ourselves is the effort that we are making to cleanse and to purify our hearts and to keep them that way. Since we found that our actions and our course of life depend upon our heart condition, we can never really even get to first base in serving the Lord unless we begin this work of cleansing and purifying our heart, examining our heart condition against the Word and the instructions of the Heavenly Father, and cleansing it to the best of our ability. The psalmist brings to our mind the importance of having a clean heart in the 24th Psalm, in verses 3 and 4. There he writes for us these words: "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." The first phrase describes those, the first phrase in verse 3 describes those who will attain to life everlasting in the kingdom, who walk up the highway of holiness in the mountain of the house of the Lord. The second phrase describes those who obtain to the first resurrection during the present age and stand in the holy place or heaven itself. In both conditions, those individuals who attain to life do so by having clean hands and a pure heart. The hands refer to the cleansing of our actions to the best of our ability. The clean heart refers to the purification of our attitudes and our desires and our affections, stripping off the old man and replacing him with the attitudes and desires that we find so beautifully portrayed in the mind of Christ. We cannot serve the Lord unless we begin this purification process. This was one of the big problems with the scribes and the Pharisees, and why our Lord so thoroughly condemned them in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, because they sought to serve the Lord outwardly without making sure that their attitudes and their desires measured up to the principles of truth and righteousness. And our Lord in the 25th and 26th verse mentioned that before they could clean the outside of the cup and the platter, they first had to clean the inside. As our Lord mentioned, those that expect to be glorified together with Him in the first resurrection, those who expect to see the Heavenly Father, are those who are pure in heart. Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." This work is not really one work that we can do by ourselves. We need the direction, we need the instruction, we need the guidance and the leadership of our Heavenly Father. As the psalmist tells us in the 51st Psalm in verse 10, "Create in me, O Lord, a clean and a pure heart." And we can do a work by taking the instructions and the word of the Lord and apply it in our life, that we might begin this cleansing process. And so a question we need to ask ourselves as we endeavor to walk in the footsteps of our Lord is, what kind of effort have we been making along this line? Have we been putting down the old man in all of its very facets? Anger, wrath, and malice, envy, and strife, and evil speaking. Have we been keeping our tempers in check? Have we been endeavoring to get along with our brethren? Because these are some of the things of the flesh that we need to purify from our hearts and minds. We need to earnestly scrutinize our thoughts and our attitudes each and every day of our Christian life to make sure that they are being brought into harmony with the Heavenly Father. We cannot afford to go with the flow. In our case, the flow is the flow of the flesh, and that does not lead us to the Lord. That leads us away from Him and down the broad road of destruction. And so we need to follow the example of the brethren of God before, particularly the example of the dear Apostle Paul, who realized his own weaknesses and his own imperfections and daily sought to overcome them to the best of his ability and remain faithful to the Lord. If we follow this example in our life, it will be a beautiful indication to the Lord and to our brethren that indeed our heart does truly belong to Him. Another way in which the Lord is examining the condition of our heart and whether or not it belongs fully and truly to Him is our attitude and our love towards God's Word, His truth and His plans and His purposes. What place does God's Word really have in our hearts? This can really be seen in the way that we study the Lord's Word, by the way that we proclaim it to others, and by the way that we discuss it amongst ourselves. Does the Lord's Word really have the same value in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives as it did when we first heard His Word and made a consecration? I think the prophet Jeremiah gives us a beautiful description of what should be our attitude towards God's Word in the 15th chapter of Jeremiah in the 16th verse. And it's a verse that's already been quoted at least several times in this convention already. The prophet Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." It was the message of hope and the message of comfort that the Heavenly Father has provided to us, which stirred our hearts and minds and led us to love and to appreciate Him and brought us down the road to the point of consecration. And one of the questions that we can ask ourselves as we continue to follow in the footsteps of our Lord, is this still the attitude of our heart toward God's words and His instructions? Is His word still the joy and the rejoicing of our heart? Or is our joy beginning to fade even just a little bit? The psalmist tells us in the 119th Psalm in verse 111, "Thy testimonies are my heritage forever, the joy of my heart." There is very little that the Heavenly Father could have given to us which meant more and is of greater value than His words and His instructions. For in His words and in his instructions are the doctrine and the wisdom and the instruction in righteousness that we all need in order to attain to eternal life. Do we delight to do the Lord's will, and do we meditate upon it as our Lord and our Master did in His earthly course? And as it was in the case of the prophet Jeremiah, is God's words a burning fire shut up within our bones, so much so that we cannot contain it, but we must speak it out? Or is that light beginning to fade? The psalmist declares for us in the 119th Psalm in verses 12 through 16 beautifully what I think should be our attitude toward the Word of God. And as we read these verses, think about what is said in these verses and ask yourselves, does this really describe our attitude and our feelings toward God's Word and instruction which He has bestowed upon each one of us? "Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimony as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word." If that truly is our attitude toward the Word of God, it will be another wonderful indication, not only to our Lord and Master, but also to our brethren, that indeed our heart still belongs completely to the Lord. And finally, the last area that we want to consider this afternoon is along the lines of the growth of our hearts, and its love and affection, not only for our Heavenly Father, not only for our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, not only for the truth, but for our brethren, and a sympathetic love for the world of mankind. We need to examine ourselves to determine whether or not we are developing in our hearts the same type of love that the Heavenly Father Himself possesses. We find, for the most part, that the human heart, because of sin and because of inherited iniquity, is for the most part overcome with selfishness. It is not large and overflowing with love. On the contrary, it is small. And what little compassion it does have, it usually hoards on itself and a favored few. But it is not the Lord's will that our heart would remain in such a condition of poverty, but that instead it would grow and broaden and develop, not only in love for Him, for His truth, but also for our brethren. And it's for this reason that, one of these reasons, that Jesus gave to us a new commandment in John the 13th chapter in verse 34 and 35, that we love one another as He loved us. And so as we walk in this Christian way, we need to examine our hearts and minds to determine if we indeed have the same kind of love for our brethren that our Lord and Master did. As Apostle John tells us, we are to love one another because God loves us. Not only us, but each one of those who have named the name of Christ. And we need to demonstrate that love by comforting and strengthening and encouraging one another. We find the Apostle Paul was such a beautiful example of one who had a great deal of love for the brethren and displayed it so beautifully in his great labor of love that he rendered on their behalf. Listen to his words as he writes to the brethren at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 6 chapter and verses 11 and 12. We'd like to read this from the Amplified. Our mouth is open to you, Corinthians. We are hiding nothing, keeping nothing back, and our heart is expanded wide for you. There is no lack of room for you in our hearts, but you lack in your affections for us. Brethren, which statement by the Apostle Paul describes our condition? Is our hearts wide open for our brethren, or do we lack in our affections for them? If we lack in our affections for our brethren, what that is really pointing out to us is we lack in our affections for the Lord, and indeed our hearts do not truly belong to the Lord. What are some questions we can ask ourselves along the line of whether or not we indeed have room in our hearts for our brethren? Well, for example, which side of our brethren's lives are we looking? Are we looking after the flesh and the mistakes they make? Are we looking after the effort they're making to follow in the footsteps of our Lord? Do we require our brethren agree with everything that we say and chastise them when they don't? Do we measure our brethren's faithfulness to the truth by their faithfulness to everything that we say when we don't have a thus saith the Lord, or their faithfulness to what the Scriptures say? And finally, and I think most importantly, do we require more of our brethren than we require of ourselves? We're all very well of our own individual weaknesses. We know how difficult it is to overcome them, how much effort it takes, and how often we fail despite the fact that we pray about it and labor to the best of our ability. Brethren, do we give our brethren the same benefit of the doubt? As we mentioned, our heart condition is vital to our standing before the Lord. Just as a good, strong life depends on a good, strong physical heart, so also a good, strong spiritual life depends upon a good heart condition. Not only that, but everything must be done from the heart in order to be pleasing and acceptable to the Lord, and the only way this can be done is of our heart belongs completely to Him. And let us never forget, brethren, that our heart belongs to the Lord forever. A covenant of sacrifice is even unto death, but our heart belongs to the Lord now on this side of the veil, and will also belong to Him on the other side of the veil as well. And so, brethren, we promise the Lord our heart. We need to make sure that we deliver it each and every day of our life. It is my promise and prayer for each one of you that we might all be faithful in this regard and hear the words at the end of our Christian course, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of thy Lord." May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Ernie, for the wonderful lesson on a question of the heart. The book table will be open at this intermission in a short while tomorrow, and there's a lot of free literature that they would like us to pick up from the book table so they won't have to carry it back. It'd be a good opportunity to get tracts and material for yourselves and also your ecclesia at home. So this intermission might be a good opportunity to see what the book table has that you might need. Let's close this service with the last two verses of 198, rising on the last verse, and we'll ask Brother Ernie Kensley to close this session with a prayer. Last two verses of 198.